What's up, guys? Omar from Inside the 18. Before we get into our episode with Haley Kopmeyer of the Orlando Pride, I just wanted to let you guys know about the International Goalkeeper Coaches Conference, which is taking place from June 7th through the 9th at the world-renowned IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. The IGCC was founded by one of the best goalkeeper coaches that we've had the pleasure of meeting, Phil Whedon, who has been to several World Cups and Olympics as a goalkeeper coach for the U.S. Women's National Team and the U.S. Men's National Team. We had the pleasure of meeting Phil at the Coaches Convention in Chicago and know that he brings a lot to the table in terms of experience and knowledge of the position. But with the IGCC, he also brings in top international coaches to share their wisdom and experiences with you as well. Some of this year's presenters include Michael Reckner of the Bundesliga side Hoffenheim, René Stam of Ajax, Simon Smith of Newcastle, and so many more. We personally recommend the IGCC for any goalkeeper coach that's serious about learning and growing as a coach and learning more about the position from some of the best coaches around the world. And also for people who want to build a network of coaches to, you know, call on and maybe even go visit their sessions and see how they're progressing and developing their goalkeepers as well. Just go to www.internationalgoalkeepercoaches.com. And, you know, as a special thanks to all of our fans and supporters of the podcast, you guys can enter a promo code IGCC. IT18 and receive over 25% off. That's IGCCIT18. And again, you guys can receive over 25% off. Thanks again to Phil and IGCC for sponsoring today's episode. My name is Omar Zini. Let's get to the episode with Haley Kopmeyer.
Welcome back to Inside the 18, sort of live from Omar Zini's guest room, which will be a studio very, very soon. We promise you guys. I know everybody's been waiting with bated breath. They're going, when are those banners going up on the wall? When is it not just going to be a blank screen? When are we going to get to see you guys in live and video?
Yeah, but Apple and Microsoft, they started in the garage. So I think we're on the correct trajectory.
We're on a great trajectory. My favorite thing is that like people will come out and they'll DM me and they'll be like, oh, they're like, I thought you guys were based in like the UK or like, like they think we're like in some like Man U like headquarters or something like that. They don't realize it's just
like a That 70s Show downstairs, like basement.
It's just honestly, it's just a room in Arcadia. It's a guest room in Arcadia. But that's not why we have you guys here. We have you guys here because we're very, very excited because NWSL weekend is starting up this coming weekend, the season. And we've got the one and only Haley Kopmeyer from the Orlando Pride on the line with us. And what's up, Haley? How are you first?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We're so excited. And honestly, at first it was so funny because like I was like, when your people reached out and they said, you know, you'd love to be on and everything, we thought it was just going to be a traditional goalkeeper type, you know, conversation, just talking about like three goal situations or like drop steps or like tip over saves and all that. And then we came to realize that Haley is a little bit like us.
I love what you guys do and you are super inspiring in that side. So, you know, I obviously love being a goalkeeper and playing goalkeeper, but I love the other side of it too. And, you know, taking it viral, so to speak.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that right now. So Haley, why don't you tell us a little bit about, first off, outside of your goalkeeping career, it seems like you have a YouTube celebrity status that's burgeoning, that's coming on. And yeah. I love it. First off, the intro on your YouTube channel is amazing. You're like, it's like aspiring YouTube star. Was just incredible. Because right there, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be an awesome person to have on the podcast because they're going to get it.
No, I appreciate it. You know, I do. I have always kind of enjoyed, you know, the other side of the game, so to speak. And I think, for me, you know, I want people to see us off the field. I want people to, you know, for me and my teammates and my friends, you know, we're at the end of the day, it's like, we're people too. And some of us are even funny. So, you know, we're trying to kind of just show the life behind the scenes.
So how did that all come about? How did you start a YouTube channel? How did you decide, you know, obviously it's very difficult as a professional athlete to find extra time. Because when you're not training, you're resting, so that you can train.
Absolutely.
Again. So how did it come about?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a couple of years back when I was playing over in Seattle, I had done like a GoPro series with them, like a day in the life type of thing with Haley Kopmeyer. And, you know, a lot of the girls, they had given it to a couple different players on the team, and they gave it to me. And, you know, I think a lot of people were like, oh, we're on this GoPro. Like, people are going to see what we're doing. Like, we either got to like really spice it up or like look really good or, you know, whatever. And I was just like, here I am waking up, you know, and I sort of just rolled with it. And I think people kind of took a liking to it, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed being on camera. And later in that year, I went to the club and I asked them to do, if they would do a series with me, and they came up with a series called Stops with Cop or Cops. I don't know if it might've been plural, but it was just me. But, where teammates and I would kind of like go around and, you know, do kind of just different crazy things in the community. I mean, like we did everything from, you know, I don't know, I swam in a lake. We hung out with a drag queen. I mean, like really anything.
Typical you could goalkeeping think of, anything stuff, that was, obviously.
Yeah, right? I got to like feed an otter at the zoo. So we kind of got behind the scenes at all these, you know, places in Seattle, and I really enjoyed it. And it kind of having that soccer platform gave me access to stuff that I definitely wouldn't have had otherwise. You know, actually then like rode a tandem bike down the pier, and they were like, this is definitely illegal. Like you have to get off the pier, but like you just quickly ride and then get off. You know what I mean? Like it was kind of, it was funny and it was cool to be a part of. And I really just enjoyed the process of doing that and kind of seeing this final product come to piece. And when I got to Orlando, I didn't want it to stop, and I wanted a place just for myself to compile any work that I had done. So then moving forward, anything I did on my own or with a club, I wanted it to all be in one place. And that's kind of how the YouTube channel came to fruition.
And you've got some of that old content from the Seattle Reign on there, because I've seen it out there. And my favorite was when you first got the GoPro, the kind of the evolution from when you got the GoPro to what you're doing now with Fun Chicks and everything like that. And it's just been like
totally. This
total, like, and here's the thing is, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this, because I get this with my comedy, is well, people will find old content of mine online, and they're
find stuff of me from college.
Oh, it's the worst. Cause you're like, oh, that was so good when you're dumb. I'm like, no, that bit's so much better now. You have no idea.
No, I totally get it. Like people are like, I found a clip of you when you were 19 and you're dressed up like a worker from Burger King. And I'm like, I don't know how you found that. And I hardly remember making it, but that was probably me.
No, but that's the good thing about it, though, is that, I mean, that's why I love social media. And that's why I use it all the time, is just the fact that you can look back on it in 5-6 years and just go, oh my God, I can't believe that's what I was thinking when I did that. Whether it's on the field as a coach or a player, or it's actually, you know, just trying to create content for an audience that obviously likes what you do. What I like about your channel, I like about what you guys do, is that it's very authentic, and I feel like your personalities really come out. And I think more professional players need to do that, especially the female side as well, which I think if you guys keep doing what you guys are doing, I know the numbers might not be there now, but like it took me forever to get to where I am, like over time. And you just got to stick to like your authenticity.
Omar's numbers are all just bots. They're just bots.
That's what I like about your guys' channel. Like I watched a little bit of the softball episode.
Softball episode is legit. That is my favorite
that
one
was fun.
For sure.
That
oh
was
my God.
Really funny. My teammate, and I love her so much, Shalina Zadorsky, and she and I played in college together, and we did it now. And we went out to film this and film playing softball. And I was like, Shalina, do they not have softball in Canada? Like, is it not even like, have you ever seen one of these? Like, it was just so funny, but she was like so awesome and enthusiastic about it, but it was just so funny. And I think it's funny too, to just do stuff like that and play other sports and, just, you know, for us to get pushed out of our comfort zone too, because I think we do so many things like that get seen where, you know, I'm comfortable playing goalkeeper. You know, all these girls are so good at what they do. They're elite and they're the best at what they do. But to see us kind of in an environment that's not our most comfortable, I think it makes us a little bit more human and approachable. And that's definitely what we're aiming for.
But that's like the thing. It's like, even like if you're taking something like the coffee, you know, one, for instance, like you're all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're not just athletes now, or like, cause the softball one, that's still an athletic type of endeavor. But now when you're talking about like the coffee one, or you're talking about in, you know, with the clothing store and all that sort of stuff, you know, like whenever you run into like an old teammate that you haven't seen in a long time and you see them like in regular clothes, you're like, oh, oh yeah, you're a person. I forgot about that.
No, even our
coach, like a teacher out of school.
Oh, exactly. That's
you
the weirdest
your
thing.
Coach, yeah. Anybody, you're like, whoa. got swag. Like I've seen some people too. Like to kind of give you guys even some more credit. I think it just allows fans and it humanizes you, right? I kind of like, you know, for, especially on the women's side, I don't feel like there's enough of like women voices out there. I feel like, you know, they play their professional sport and then obviously, you know, they have like team events, but for you guys are stepping out of your comfort zone. And, believe it or not, you guys are actually inspiring other young female women. And I mean, even men too, but like, especially for your guys is like a track right now is that you're inspiring so many young girls to be themselves. And at the same time too, it's like you're humanizing yourself that when they go and see you guys' games, they go, oh my God, I know who Haley is. Like I know a little bit about what she's talking about in her videos, and I feel like I have a personal connection to her. And then that brings more fans to the game. So I think all in all, it's a great opportunity to allow people to get to know you and get your name out there, but at the same time, create a connection that's further than just the game.
Yeah, thing that we talk about is like I do this, you know, outside of out of my soccer world. I've got my whole comedy world. And one of the things that I do is I mentor in a program called Stand Up With Comedy. I'm now one of the lead mentors. I've been doing it for a few years with underrepresented communities and all that stuff. One of the things that we really try to strive with in that program is empowerment with kids, because there's a lot of kids out there, especially in that adolescent phase where they feel very insecure, mm-hmm. Showcasing themselves for fear of retribution, you know? And when you see someone like Haley, not caring and just being silly and, you know, having fun and not worrying about what people think of her off the field, it allows those kids to say, oh, you know what? I can do this too.
Yeah. And they can blame it on you, right? Like, yeah. Like all the time. It's like,
I know.
You can blame it on, you know what?
Haley does that.
Yeah. Nope. So let's talk about this a little bit. Why do goalkeepers resonate so well in social media though? Because I feel like outside of a lot of field players, it just seems like goalkeepers seem to have these personalities that just work.
Haley? You know, I think, and you think about the traits that you kind of need to be a goalkeeper, you know, or the perception of being a goalkeeper. And, you know, you talked about some of them, but like you do have to be confident and you kind of have to exude confidence. And, you know, you kind of have to have that personality too, that you can get knocked down and get back up again. And, you know, there's all these kind of traits that I think, you know, and honestly, you know, like we're a little bit quirky. Yeah. You know, there's everybody kind of has their way of explaining a goalkeeper, and, you know, whether it's like there's a screw loose or, you know, we're a bit, I like quirky better though, but you know, we're a bit quirky. So for me, it's so natural. I'm like, all right, in my head, you know, I'm like, if I think of something that I think, I'm like, I kind of go through the check mark. I'm like, okay, is that a good idea? And I write it down and then I think about it and it's like, you know, I don't know, Ted and Otter. And they're like, no, it's not a good idea. I'm like, all right, it's not a good idea. You know, but then sometimes it'll be like, you know, okay, is this, even like a tweet, you know, is this a funny tweet? And I'll kind of think about it. And I'm like, well, is it inappropriate? Does it hurt anybody? No, rifle it off. And more often than not, people just like being engaged with and being talked to. And I love talking to people. So I think that's it too, is like, we just yell all game. So we're pretty chatty.
That's one of the reasons why I chew gum when I play, because honestly, like my voice gets, somebody asked me that. They're like, how can you chew gum and play at the same time?
I would choke and die.
Oh my gosh.
I'm on the field.
I'm talking so much and like my throat gets sore. It's probably completely psychosomatic though, but like I'm that, like if I'm about to start a game and like, I don't have a piece of gum, I'm like freaking out. I'm like going to do terrible. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to, how are they going to understand how to drop?
I'm not going to be able to perform here.
Yeah.
No, I think with goalkeepers, like you said, Haley, like you kind of alluded to it, is that from a young age, we're kind of taught that we have to be commanding. We have to be the people on the field with the voice. We have to be a coach back there. And I think at a young age, since we're taught that, we're kind of forced into an environment where we have to be the social ones per se. And we have to be the ones who can kind of, you know, just coach the team from the back. And I remember there was a time we played in something called Sum Cup. It was like all the MLS teams. I was under 15 and my goalkeeper coach walked up to me and he was just like, you know, for that cross that they just scored on, I didn't hear you at all. And I was like, oh yeah, my bad. He's like, no, Mark, the next level, they need to hear you. So I need you to yell keeper right now. And like all my teammates are kind of, I'm in like a circle and he's like, people are walking by. I was like, I need you to yell keeper. I kind of yelled my keeper and he's like, Omar,
this is what the LA Galaxy this is what do for goalkeeper training. Okay.
And then he's like, I need you to yell it. And he literally made me scream it three times as loud as I possibly could. And like, for me, it was weird at that moment. As I got older, I was like, I'm so happy that he did that to me, because it made me comfortable to express myself. And I feel like that's what goalkeepers all around the world are so comfortable doing. And that's why we're like kind of enigmas for social media and you see a lot of good goalkeeping content gets viral because it's so unusual for that, for them to hear like off the field your voice. So I think that's the reason why I think a lot of goalkeepers is they find their voice early and then they use it in the right ways.
I also think it's really funny how a lot of goalkeepers kind of like gravitate towards each other. Like there's all these other people on their team and stuff like that. And they're like at like a tournament or something like that. And they'll go hang out with the goalkeepers from the other team. Just cause like, it's hard for, you know, there's a whole goalkeepers union thing that we always talk about and stuff. And I wear that bracelet that Jamie Campbell gave me when she was 9, you know, from the goalkeepers union. And I think it's just really true. It's just nobody else really understands us. And, nobody in my sketch group really understands me. I feel like I need to start a sketch group with Haley. And then I think we'd have
I'm in.
Yeah.
I've never done a sketch group, but I'm definitely in.
Oh my gosh. So we're straight up going to go to Orlando this summer. I've already spoken to Lloyd about it. Shout out to Lloyd Yaxley who said you got to get
great guy.
He's
a great dude, by the way. Yeah.
Lloyd's a legend.
He is. Real quick, Haley, for you, have you had a lot of like young fans out there reach out to you through your social media at all, or kind of giving you some, watch your stuff or anything like that?
Definitely. You know, I think it kind of like things, you know, whatever you do, certain things about you'll kind of like have a little bit of a following, or they'll pick up, or, you know, every now and then I'll get to a game and there's a sign, you know, and someone has written something that I've done or said on the sign, and it's just cool. You know, it's a cool way, and I try to be engaging, and I, you know, I try to go out of my way. If, you know, you do something that kind of shows me that you're really supporting me, then I'll go out of my way too, to make sure that person feels that person good. And it's flattering.
Oh yeah, no, it absolutely is. And I think obviously it's our job to try to stay engaged with them. Obviously I know it's difficult for a lot of us. I'm sure you have the same situation as we do where kids have a little bit more free time than you do. And
they do.
And they just DM you at 11:30 at night and are wondering why you're not getting back to them 30 seconds later. But
totally.
But you know, we try to inspire, and it's crazy sometimes. We don't even realize who's watching, who's listening. And we've had situations before where like we mentioned something and then a kid goes like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you were talking about me on the air." I was like, "I had no idea you even listened. You're a youth national team player." Like, but it's weird, you know?
Totally. And,
yeah. So I want to say one thing is I've heard a lot of things. So I don't know if you remember with the Cooligans, but we were with them in Chicago at convention and they had Allie Krieger on. And they said she's arguably one of the funniest people they've ever met in their lives. So we want to hear a little bit about that. Is this true or is this just a legend? And is she funnier than Ali Wong? Who I did a show and I was like, this is one of the funniest people I've ever seen.
That's, you know, I just actually watched her Netflix special. So I, you know, I feel like I have, but I think both of her Netflix specials. So I definitely have like a good basis for comparison here. You know, I think it might be different types of humor. Ali Wong definitely has, I think, the shock value. Whereas I think, you know, Krieg, she can deliver just like line after line and not even crack a smile. You know, like she'll just keep going and going, and she can just, and actually like her and I get along well. Like, I would say like we can definitely like come up with some ridiculous scenarios where we just kind of keep saying ridiculous thing and like we're just sort of waiting to see who's going to crack first. And she's very funny, and it's dry humor. So, you know, it's not necessarily the shock value factor, but it's definitely funny. She's a great person to be around.
I think I love that. And I think you've got that sarcastic wit too, because a lot of people,
I hope so. I mean, that's what I strive to have.
You straight up do, because the thing is like, you've got that subtle sarcasm where you're like, is she in on this joke or is she being serious? Like, I can't quite tell. And then like you watch it again, you're like, oh, she's totally messing with us right here. Which is great.
That's the goal.
We're definitely going to do some content when we get to Orlando. So now we need to know, at what point are you going to be the next Omar Zini?
I know. I got to like get more followers. I mean, like, you know, way more followers.
I'm going to tell you this. The best way to do it is keep doing what you're doing in terms of authenticity, because, you know, at the beginning, I kind of fell into the viralness of things. And I was like, okay, that's going to go viral. And I started kind of like selling my soul a little bit. Kind of like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to do this.
I would literally go to the field.
Exactly. And I would get to the field and I'm like, okay, how can I make these, like, how can I put like 6 drills together with like these 4 cones? And my buddy Armando, who I film with a lot, he kind of told me, he's like, dude, honestly, we got to stop doing this, man. We got to, like, you know, give people actual good content, give them what, you know, what you're all about, what I'm all about. Let's give them some real stuff. And then it took me a little bit of time to get used to, but once I did that, you weed out all the people who are only there for the viral stuff, and you keep the people who are actually there, who are going to be making you signs, who are going to be doing things for you that go beyond the field, but, you know, beyond social media. So my best advice for you is, you have success already, use that recipe, but at the same time, throw as much organic and authentic stuff as you can, which you guys are doing. But the more of that, the better, because in the long run, you might not make the money in the short term, in the long run, it'll actually pay off.
Yeah, she's got that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course.
Look, I feel like I was just in and on like on some sort of like
seminar.
Seminar. That's what it felt like.
No, but when it comes to professional goalkeeping, I think I'm going to have to ask you as many questions as I possibly can. So social media, I've been doing it for a few years now. So I have, you know, the trial and error, all that stuff. But once we get into the goalkeeping side of things, I know Mike has a billion questions for you, and I have even more.
Oh, I mean, we got to get into that. First off, you know, apologies for the performance of the University of Michigan men's basketball team.
Sorry for the performance. You know, actually it was like such a bummer that it's like so hard, you know, like we're in preseason and we're like running double days and like the, you know, the sessions are long. It's Florida heat too. Yeah. And they're like, hey, Michigan. And you're like, okay, I got to watch them tonight. Like, what time is tip off? And they're like, it's at 10:45 PM. And you're like, oh my gosh, I absolutely am just going to wake up in the morning and really hope for the best. And, you know, it was going okay. And then all of a sudden it was really not going okay anymore.
Yeah. Well, I blame the fact that they had to go to, you know, LA and have to deal with all that zaniness of being out here. No one should have to be out here. So let's get into the preseason here, and let's talk about obviously Florida heat and humidity is a little rough, but it's nothing compared to the Florida summers. So let's talk a little bit about that, having to pace yourselves in regards to prepping in the preseason to get ready for the regular season, and especially dealing with that Florida heat.
You know, I think right now we know that we got to get fit as possible. Like, you got to get fit as possible now, because come July and August, it's like survival mode. So, you know, the fitter we can get right now. And so we're doing a lot, I think probably more with the new staff than we ever have in the past. And we're making it so, you know, come July, come August, you know, we're fit and we're ready to go and we're prepared for it. And that way, when other teams have to come to us, they're going to be the ones that are dying.
I think that's,
So Haley, quick question for you about that. And for me personally, even in college, I never knew anything about diet, really. I never really knew anything about, you know, replenishing.
You don't know anything about diet right now. I see you eating the kettle corn, dude.
I have the kettle corn from the LA Galaxy.
Kettle corn looks good.
It is. I gotta take it easy to have the full back here. But no, for you, I mean, I know a lot of young girls and guys are listening right now. For you, how important is it for the diet aspect of it as well? I know we know physically you're drained and you got to take ice baths. You got to, you know, take care of yourself and drink a lot of electrolytes. But for you, diet wise, can you shed some light on us in terms of how it changes for the preseason?
Totally. You know, I think that's actually like such a good question. And it's such an interesting topic too with goalkeepers, because I don't think we can eat the same way as field players. Like, because we have a different skill set, you know, like, I don't need to eat plates and plates of pasta. By no means am I like a keto, you know, person or anything like that, but like, I don't need the carb levels that they need. And I probably need a little bit more protein than they need. And I think for me, naturally, you know, it's about, you know, we have a great nutritionist on staff. And for us, it's just kind of about finding, you know, what works right. What's going to recover me best? What's going to make me feel good tomorrow? What's going to get me through the session? And also through all of that, you know, like, we are sweating a lot, we're playing a lot. Maybe other goalkeepers can resonate this. I naturally put on weight. I don't lose weight easily. So for me, it's like, okay, how do I find like my correct intake for what I'm putting out? And it's not easy, but I think it's so important to kind of have that frank conversation with yourself, no matter the environment you're in. And no matter your age, and make sure that you're doing what you need to keep yourself fit and ready.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because the thing is that there's a lot of youth coaches out there and they don't understand the differences between what's necessary for their goalkeepers and what's necessary for their field players. And so whether it's from a training standpoint or whether it's from a diet standpoint, they're kind of pushing the same regimen on. I mean, I'm sure you dealt with this as a younger player, where all of a sudden you got this off season regimen and you're like, yo, this is completely not right for me.
And no, so much running.
Yeah. Oh, I hate running. The running's the worst. Like literally.
I don't like running either. Like if I have to do it, I will run. Don't get me wrong. But I think for us, I'm like, to get cardio, I know I'm going to throw my body all over the ground in training over and over again. I'd rather swim or get on a bike or row or do something that's like lower impact, so that when I do have to go out and dive, I feel explosive and powerful and not like I've, you know, ruined my joints already.
So do you feel something like more like for kids listening out there, like more lower impact, like on your joints and stuff, like elliptical, for lack of a better term, your standard, you know, just traditional aerobic conditioning is a better choice for a goalkeeper?
I do, you know, I mean, and that's a personal thing, because I think some people have the build to run. I think, you know, people who are built, you know, and that might be certain goalies out there are also like, oh, I not only am I the goalie, I am also the fittest person on this team, and I beat all of the fitness records. And I'm like, do you? But it's never been me. But I think for, you know, a lot of keepers, it is. It's like, how do we stay fit? How do we stay lean? How do we stay strong without making it so it's going to affect how we train the next day? I do. I think like elliptical's a fantastic option. And there's ways that you can make the elliptical so hard. You can crank it up. You can, you know, get into a position where you drop low and go. I mean, I've got, you know, 5 or 6 different workouts that I can do on lower impact machines that, you know, the next day I'm like, okay, I got a good sweat, but I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. We're gonna have to have Haley back on, because I know that you've been pursuing your coaching by badges as well too. So we're gonna have to have you on to do some coach talk too, because I literally just heard it in that conversation. I'm like, oh, this is she's gonna do this like in front of a group of like 10 years from now. It's gonna be like all these like young coaches.
My like PowerPoint.
Exactly. On the elliptical.
That's what I need.
1 hour
PowerPoint. Whatever the most elliptical. Updated version of PowerPoint is. Google something.
Yeah, no, it will be Google something, probably.
No, I find swimming to be one of the more appealing options, just because I feel like with goalkeeping especially, you have to work on your breathing. You have to work on just kind of having presence of mind. And I feel like with swimming especially, there's so many different variables involved, your legs, your arms, your core. And obviously, you know, you have to work on your breathing, anything that I feel goalkeepers definitely need.
Totally. Yeah. I think too, the modern goalkeeper is an athlete. Like it's not a, you know what I mean? We're not a one dimensional, like, you know, Tim Howard played college basketball, that type of thing, where it's where, you know, I'd like to think that when I turned 14, I could have picked, you know, one of 4 or 5 sports and taken it that way, just because of just having an athletic background.
That's why I'm retired. I think that's the...
Why? Because you're not a multi-sport athlete?
The game changed just as I was about to enter the professional ranks, and I knew it. I had to call it quits.
Oh my gosh. Haley, did you watch Champions League today?
You know what? We had some stuff today, and I was not able, but I did watch yesterday.
Okay. There was a ball that Ter Stegen played today that was just like... I'm like, I don't even know field players who can hit this ball. It was insane. I'm just like, who are these humans like now? It's amazing.
Like Ederson, it's unbelievable. Like 95 yards on his foot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about goalkeeper training outside of just the elliptical machine. What gets you going? What do you really enjoy? Because everybody's got their favorite part.
Outside the elliptical machine. What gets me going besides the elliptical machine? No, you know what? I truly do. Like, I love going to work every day. Like, I love diving around. I love making saves. I love making training like a competition, so to speak. For me, it's fun. I think the getting so good at it and kind of the mastery of the skill of it for me is just fun. And then seeing things that go into play. And, you know, like you spoke about Lloyd, we're super lucky. Like, Lloyd's creative. Like, we're out, you know, blocking with volleyballs and doing stuff with tennis balls and all this kind of stuff just to make us quicker, better, stronger, you know, faster. And it's fun and it's different, but it totally serves a purpose.
Yeah. I think you do have to change it up. Otherwise it just gets monotonous, at any level,
totally,
whatever level it is. I think that, when you have a goalkeeper coach that understands that, you're really in a good position. So,
yeah, but I think I see a lot of other goalkeeper coaches on social media that, you know, especially kind of the trap that I fell into was try and make as creative a drill as you possibly can.
Oh my God, they do some crazy stuff online.
Oh my God. And the thing is too, it's like I said, I have like my when I started Pro GK, like when I was 23 to where I am now at 26. And when I was at 23, you know, I had my, what I thought was like the coolest thing ever. And I started filming all these drills with my buddy. And then as I watch those drills now, I'm like, they look cool, but what purpose is it really serving? And I feel like the best goalkeeper coaches in the world, you know, can make something that's appealing and fun, but at the same time, they still have the fundamental principle that's kind of underneath everything. And they go, okay, this is why you're doing this. This is why you're doing that. And I feel like a lot of coaches out there, whether it's the amateur professional ranks, sometimes can't really speak on, you know, why they do certain things. So I hope, as you know, when you step into the coaching world, you're not one of those people.
I've seen like clips of people like riding bikes and jumping through fire rings. So,
oh my God, I know who that is. I know who that guy is.
Oh, let's not even go there.
Amazing. Oh. It's practically, you know, as exciting as it is to watch, I don't know if that'll be me.
Yeah. So I would just got some word that you're unfortunately have to wrap up in a few minutes here. So let's just get a few little things out of here. If there's any goalkeepers out there listening, what advice would you give to young keepers, specific tips that have worked for you to get where you're at? Obviously you've been playing at the professional level for a good amount of time, which is not easy to do. And so what would be like three tips you would give kids out there?
So one thing I would say, excuse me, sorry. I kind of definitely have a set couple, you know. I think my first one would be, parents are like, oh, well, you train my kid. She's the goalkeeper, a full-time goalkeeper on her team, and it's the only thing she's doing, and she's 10. And I'm like, no, you know what I mean? Don't do that. Don't specialize too soon. And with that, I think, you know, don't specialize too soon, but don't also cut out every other sport until you have to, because again, I think we're athletes first, and then we're also still soccer players. So if you specialize too soon, a lot of times kids like, will, you know, train so hard to get their hands right that they kind of neglect their feet. And then the feet, I mean, we talked, you know, ball that Verstegen played today. It's that part of the game is just as big as anything else now. So I think for kids, my two biggest things always have been, you know, don't quit everything else. Do as much as you can, like keep yourself well-rounded, and also, you know, either work on the feet a lot, or every chance you get to jump in a passing pattern or play on the field, do it, because it's only going to help you out in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Now, I know you have to go, but we do want to know what your favorite form of distribution is, because we were just been talking about feet.
There's, yeah, Haley, we'll make up the last two answers for you. Whatever other two pieces of advice, Mike and I will make it up for you.
Oh my gosh!
Perfect. Yeah,
I'm trying to deal with the
Texas. Actually, I got a good one.
Go ahead.
I think like any experience you have, make it what you want, because kind of that's how I got in and fell into all the social side of it. It was me trying to make my experience what I wanted it to be. And I think you can do that in college sports, you know, high school sports. You can turn this into whatever you want it to be. But also I use technically like out of my hands, I side volley. I prefer it to a drop kick, only because I think like surfaces change so much. And especially in our game, some weeks we're on turf, some weeks we're on beautiful grass, some weeks we're on really terrible grass. And then some days it's snowing. So you kind of never know what you're going to get. So I think a side volley for me feels like a safer way to distribute and, you know, get the ball down the field.
That's awesome. I mean, look, we all love a side volley, a nice solid hit side volley. Just
everybody loves a good side volley.
Nothing that feels better about that. And if you ask the internet, they will agree with you, because there's 17 million side volleys.
That was the one investment that I'm happy I made at a young age. It's like, okay, spend 20 hours a week just side volley,
right?
side volley. And now it's like the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, oh crap. Okay. I kind of fit in now.
Now it works. Before you go, if anybody wants to reach out, if they want to check out your channel, where's the best place they can reach you? I know you're all over social media.
Yeah. So I think probably my Instagram, it's at H Kottmeyer. It's got my YouTube channel on it. It's got my contact email on it. So any, you know, and any sort of form of reaching out can be done on there.
There you have it right there. We'll play the games. Let's just do this. Let's just have you back on. Let's just do another episode with games.
I would love that. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's all the time we got on Inside the 18. Haley's got a meeting to get to. We're out. Later.